Good evening, and thank you for staying with us tonight. My name is Julie MacArthur, and I work with the programming team here at the Toronto International Film Festival. We're going to be having a Q&A, and I would ask that you please raise your hands high, speak clearly, and keep your questions brief so that we can get to as many as possible. And now please join me in welcoming back to the stage the director of the trip, Michael Winterbottom.
Cranked up the sort of antagonism between us, and I mean, Rob's a very good friend of mine, of course, but we cranked it up, and sort of tried to sort of lead things towards conflict sometimes to make it funnier or more interesting, and really, we get on much better than we do in the film, don't we? But we took facets of ourselves and just kind of turned the volume up on them for the purposes of making us slightly more interesting than we are in reality.
There's no warmth really in the relationship on the screen, and I think there's a lot of warmth in our real relationship. I don't do impressions all the time. I would like to make that very clear. There's not the competition all the time. I was thinking as we were coming here, we were having a conversation in the car. I forget what it was about, but I remember it was quite warm and pleasant and uncompetitional. And I thought, well, yeah, this is sort of how we are, really. But we find it, I think, very easy and enjoyable to switch into that dynamic, you know, that sort of works for in this and in a comparable story as well. Thank you very much.
Hilarious movie. Question for the director and for the bottom. Was there anything cut out of the film that you wanted to keep in? And question for Mr. Bryden. Is there any impression something trying to do that can't do?
The question was did we cut anything out that I wanted to leave in? I mean, yeah, there's lots of stuff. We did this sort of trip a few times in reality, so we had a massive amount of material, and just thought probably two hours of Stephen Robb was probably enough in one session.
A bit too much, to be honest.
The gentleman also asked if there are any impressions I can't do. Yeah, I think Steve's impressions are better. They are more clinically accurate, but mine are more joyous.
I'll go on with that.
Any other questions from the audience? Yes. Was there a script, or was it a lot of
ad-lib? The whole thing's improvised. Yeah. We talk about there'd be a sort of loose structure to things about how we do. I mean, sometimes we discuss. When we were shooting, we'd discuss something Rob and I between ourselves, and then we'd think, oh, that's a good idea, we must remember and do that tomorrow. So we'd think of things in advance, but normally the night before. And then,
you'd sort of be having a conversation and something would strike you as funny, and you go, oh, we must tell Michael about this. And equally, I remember sometimes we'd be eating at night, wouldn't we? We'd start saying something, and Michael would say, oh, we're going to do this again tomorrow, you know. Because sometimes I think you don't realize when you're being funny, you know, which is unfortunate. And there's loads of stuff that wasn't used. There's tons of stuff. Acres and acres of it. DVD, yes, I've heard of these things. I hear VHS is on the way out.
Of all of the regions, why the Lake District?
It's actually the north of England. We filmed generally the north of England. So we started in Lancashire, went up to the Lake District and down through the Yorkshire Dales. It's mainly because I'm from that area, Steve's from that area, and Rob isn't. So it's like. Advice for future filmmakers? No, not really. I mean, these days it's quite easy to pick up a camera and do something. You know, the technology is quite simple. So the only advice really is to go out and have a go, you know, just start. But you only learn by doing stuff, so you might as well just start making stuff.
And the food was very nice, but it was very rich food, and when you serve the same meal three times when you're shooting it, the hardest acting is when you put meal down for you and you have to, well, you try and ration yourself, but when they put the meal down for the third time and you have to say, that looks lovely, and you're just totally bloated, but it was very good food, but I was craving sort of plain food by the end of it, yes.
It's very, as Steve said, very rich food, and you would eat it three times. They bring the starter, and we do a little run at the scene, and they say, great, okay, let's bring it in again, and you have the scallops again. And then they say, okay, let's do it again. So you've had three starters, okay? Okay, let's go to the main course now. Bring the main course out. And you eat the main course, you do the scene. And you know, you're feeling good now, you've had a nice meal. And they say, okay, let's do it again. Bring the main course again. You eat the main course again. And then literally, bring it again, the third time. And you haven't even got to dessert yet. I put on 8 pounds over 5 weeks. Yeah, all around my, what is that, stomach.
Any more questions? Yes, how did the idea for the concept come about? It seems pretty unusual.
Well, we've worked together before a couple of times. And so, we've been wanting to work, I've been wanting to work with Steve and Rob for a while. We sort of met occasionally to talk about things like together and separately, and just decided in the end the easiest thing would be just like to film it around the lunches. You know, we were struggling to get any other film made. We thought, well, actually, why don't we just go on and do something very simple and just film them having lunch. It seemed like the easiest possible idea. Yeah.
Any other questions?
It's your idea.
It was the most truthful answer. Truthful
Yes, in the middle.
Stephen, at the beginning of the film, you knock the idea of being in Doctor Who, but I actually think you'd make a terrific Doctor Who.
I wouldn't be so churlish as to disagree with you.
What kind of things do we miss as a Canadian audience that would be true for a British audience?
I think there are certain references that are a bit too esoteric for an international audience. But there are things from, there's some things from the US that they have esoteric references and they don't change them for us, so why should we change them for them? I'd drive to the location and we'd shoot a scene as I was driving to the location in the car. So we stayed at all the places we shot in. So we'd get up in the morning and more or less start shooting stuff straight after breakfast and on the way to. So we talk about stuff in the car, and that was one of the things. I think we just heard that. I think we did. Some of the conversations we have in the car, refer to. We have real conversations in between. Or Michael would say, when we'd be talking and driving, and Michael would say, stop talking, save it for when we're filming. Just stop talking.
Some of the things, thinking about it now, when you say, is it like it would be in real life, that business of we rise at dawn and all that stuff. I mean, I think that's the sort of thing we might say if we're driving, just making each other laugh, you know, and when I'm there laughing at Steve and sort of delighting in him, it's, you know, that would be very genuinely, I mean, that's kind of how it would be, you know. But I suppose the snipiness and the ridiculous competitiveness is not there. So stuff like that would just be the sort of thing that we would say, wouldn't it? Really, yeah.
We would occasionally, in reality, sort of be competitive, but it's, but we and snipe at each other, but only if it's going to be fun. If we wouldn't just be vindictive of its own accord, because that's not much fun.
Yes, over here.
Of the other characters, how many of them were real people? Like, were those your real parents or your real wife?
None of the others were all.
All people in the hotel that were real, unless Steve was trying to have an affair with them. Which is so for instance, the woman in Coleridge's house, that is a real person who really owns Coleridge's house and does let you stay there. So there are some real people dotted around, some actors, some real people.
But my parents are actors.
Are there plans to widely distribute the movie?
No.
This is a very exclusive screening.
Yes, over there.
Is this your first time in Toronto? And what are your plans over the next few days?
Hi, how are you doing? I really just want to kick back and relax. I don't know, chill a little. No, we were here, I think, 4 or 5 years ago with A Cop and Bull Story. Notice how I said it to allow applause, which I thought was quite manipulative of me. We were here 4 years ago with A Cop and Bull Story. Thank you. And I don't know what we're doing. I want to do the Niagara Falls tomorrow, but nobody else is up for it, so looks like we're not going. And I think we got another screening on Monday. Same film. completely different film. Science fiction. So we're doing... No, I love Toronto. But it's the jet lag is the problem, because you fly in and then by the time you get your bearings, you're going. You start to feel human and you sort of go, it's a shame. There you go.
This has also been... edited into 6 half-hours for BBC television, so it's both the movie and in the UK it's a TV series as well. So this is sort of an unexpected surprise.
Also available as a pop-up book.
I think it works best as that.
No, what you see is that I like that scene, the one by the grave. It's one of my favourites, and that was more or less one take, wasn't it, Michael? That was like
no.
But it was what it was, though, wasn't it? It just kind of happened, and that's a very exciting way to work. I mean, I love it, and you know, doing it with Steve was as good as it gets at that sort of thing. Is you know, brilliant fun, and. You know, so I love that scene. So no, I never did get to do it.
I knew that he would do a hatchet job on me, so I cut the scene straight short.
There's more of that scene in if you move to Britain, relocate to Britain, and watch the BBC TV version. That's that bit. There's another little bit before he falls in the water, which is quite amusing as well.
How long have you three known each other? It seems like a lifetime, but.
Feels like that. I've known Steve for 11 years. I've known Michael. There's a lot of the film is true, only the unless I look bad, in which case it's fiction. And I've known Michael for, I don't know how long, 9 years, 9 and a half? Let's say 10. Steve, how long have you known Michael?
I've known Michael for a little bit longer.
Michael, how long have you known Steve? is Andrew Eaton, the producer, one of. Known him for about the same time I've known Michael. I think it's good. Yeah, why answer the question honestly and thoroughly? This is the better impression, so I'll go first as the warm-up and then he can come and kill. As I say, he used to talk like that. In the old days, the voice was up there. But over the years, all of the brandy and the cigars have made the voice cut down. And he constantly sat as though he might drop dead. When Rob does it, he doesn't quite get the nasal qualities of the voice. When Michael Caine speaks, he speaks slightly through his nose, like that. It's very deliberate, it's very specific, and when he gets emotional, he starts to crack up. His voice starts to work. And remember, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off!
If the north of England was its own country, it would have more cultural significance than Wales.